Scorpions Avenue.
Oh, you're feeling better.
Yeah, I am. A little bit.
It is New Year's Eve.
I know. Isn't that great? Girl, 365 days have passed since the beginning of 2021. Oh, shit. Let me take us back to 2020. It's officially about to be 2022, girl.
Well, you know. I don't have any control over it, but I'm glad that we're seeing an end to 2021. We're kind of, spirits are a little dampened because of a new variant called Omicron or Omicron, as Joe Biden mistakenly referred to it. I'm like, oh yeah, you can handle it. You can't even pronounce it, but you can handle it. I do not blame Joe Biden on variants, however.
Yes, not Joe Biden's fault. Just how viruses are. They grow and change, much like human beings.
Yes, just like my hemorrhoids. They grow and they change.
Can I see one? Can you want to show me? Turn around real quick.
I am turned around.
Oh.
Did you think that was my face?
So... on this episode of Ebony and Irony, we're going to revisit some of our favorite moments of 2021, some of our fiercest moments from the podcast. But before that, Bunny, do you have a list?
Oh, but that's going to be so hard to do, Monet. I mean, there are so many gems throughout our... When did we start this shit? February of last year.
Oh, January? End of January, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's been a whole year with you. Well, yes, I do have a few moments that stood out to me in 2021. Should we go with it?
Yeah, let's hear what you have to say about 2021.
In January 2021, President Biden is told he needs to assemble a cabinet. Coming home from IKEA, he realized he's misunderstood the task. February 3rd, I attended a Black Lives Matter protest with a sign that said, "I can't breathe." Everyone yelled, "Take off your Spanx." Don't laugh at that. That's fat shaming. In March, Adele got rid of that big cow body, and we learned there was a horse face underneath.
Oh my God.
Sarah Jessica Parker is considering a lawsuit. In April, there is such an epidemic of violence against trans women that Wendy Williams now has an armed guard. 2021 sees Sharon Needles working on a new album. I'm sorry, that always gets me. May 12th, the Ellen DeGeneres Show ends after accusations of a toxic workplace. Honey, if toxic workplaces are shut down, Monet's asshole is off limits. Okay, that's all I gotta say about that. May 29th, the winner of Drag Race Season 12 was announced. No, I don't remember her name either. In July 2021, rapper DaBaby faced backlash for homophobic remarks. DaBaby went on to claim that gay fans of his do not have HIV/AIDS because they are not, quote, nasty gay N-words or junkies, unquote. I beg to differ, DaBaby. I'm a big fan of yours. In July, breakthrough infections began among the vaccinated, proving that COVID is no joke. One patient was so seriously deranged from COVID that he thought he had won an election he actually lost by millions of votes. July 29th, I got COVID. July 30th, I got scabies. July 31st, I got AIDS. August 1st, I stopped going to industry bar. October 1st, diminutive gymnast Simone Biles bowed out of the Olympics due to mental health issues. I was livid. Simone is my therapist. On Thanksgiving, Lady Gaga said it was challenging to play Patrizia in House of Gucci. I'll say, Patrizia was attractive and had good taste in clothes. December 15th. Thousands of members of New York City's Indian community blocked traffic to worship a singing cow. Quote, that's the last time I'll ever perform in Queens, warned Mariah Carey. December 3rd, the trial of Jussie Smollett begins. He is now the first American to scam Nigerians. December 5th, Bette Midler was just awarded the Kennedy Center honor. She's currently filming the sequel to Hocus Pocus 30 years after the original, playing a buck-tooth old hag. Disney was relieved that she did not require a makeup artist this time around. That is concludes my year-end roundup my major events. And, you know, this was an odd year, but I'll tell you this. Wow. We started this podcast in 2020, mm-hmm. and I'm now getting on planes. I'm now going to work. There may be something of a shutdown or lockdown again because of the surge, but we're in a lot better place. I mean, I don't know if you follow this, but they had a surge down south in several states in July and August because people wanted to be indoors. When it's so hot, they want to be air conditioned, which makes total sense.
Right.
And so now they have been predicting for quite a while that there would be a winter surge in the north. And that is exactly what is happening. And we just have to understand that even though there will be new variants and stuff, that, you know, the pandemic will turn.
The plandemic?
Will turn into an endemic, which means that it will eventually just be like the flu. There is good news that there are two pills. One is by Merck and one is by Pfizer. I think the Pfizer one is more effective, a lot more effective. But this is a pill that you would take within a couple of days after contracting COVID.
And what does it do?
Well, it helps you recover a lot more quickly. So if you are in a high risk group and you go from, and you're not having a mild case, or if you're unvaccinated and you're subject to, you know, not getting over it as easily, then this pill will help anyone who gets COVID recover more quickly.
And it's out they're now? Saying,
no, they said it might be out in a month or so, which is great because they're not sure about the degree to which the vaccines guard against Omicron. So, you know, there's also other therapeutics that have been used. So we're definitely, even though it seems like a setback, and hey, it is a setback, and there's a lot of things we can talk about. I'd love to have a doctor on in the coming year to talk about other things that we could be doing. I loved having the other doctor who was your friend. Yes, I'd like to fuck him also, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But if I told him that I had COVID and collapsed in his arms, maybe he would, I don't know.
He'd drop you.
That's never happened with any man. They're always begging for more money.
Sure.
Money. But that yes, I would love to have a doctor. So I think, don't you think that we're in a better place, even though it is a bitter pill to think that there's a scary new variant, even if it be mild, you know.
We're definitely in a better place, and people are just upset because it's, you know, because of what happened in 2020, we all like, oh God, are we going back into that same thing? March, April, May, June 2020. I don't think it's going to be that. Way more people are vaccinated, and we know way more about the virus. But like you said, it's until it becomes like the flu. This is just kind of what we have to deal with. But I don't think we're going to be fucking locked away like 2020 again. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yes, I mean it. Listen, it's not fun to have a new variant right after the new Delta variant is, what, 5 months old, six months old? But, you know, maybe we abandoned some of the masking too soon. Can I just say, as someone who follows way too many doctors on Twitter, that, so here's one thing that we know about all variants.
What?
You get it. You get COVID indoors, where there's no social distancing and there's no masking. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. Now, I know that it is unnatural to want to eat and hang out and veg out with your family, friends on holidays. But there's safer ways to do it. If you're in a warm place, try to eat outdoors. Even if you open a window when you're around family members who you're not normally with, you can go and get tested before you see your family, especially if you're going to be around really old people who could die from COVID, even if you're young and strong. And, just think about it. I mean, my mother is a nurse, and she said that her, like my sister and her daughter drove down there to Chattanooga to spend Christmas with them. And they said that her son is going to fly. Well, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I said, is he going to quarantine in a hotel? Because if he brings COVID, and he's not the most careful person, he's a great kid, I do love him, but he's not the most careful. He's not at the highest risk at 25, and not heavy or not having any other health problems. So it's like these things are a pain, and nobody wants to sit around Christmas dinner with masks on, you know, because you want to relax at home and you want to eat and drink and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I was in Fort Lauderdale, and some queen I was working with offered me a vape pen of weed.
Oh, girl,
But she said, I have alcohol wipes.
For the vape?
Well, because I'm putting my mouth on a stranger's.
Yeah, but that's, you shouldn't share it at all, period.
No, I didn't have it. I didn't do any of it. And, you know, it turns out that she's a sex worker and might be, you know, with a lot more people. But at least she had that alcohol and being safe. So there are little things like opening a window, every few minutes. There are little things that we can do in this awful thing. I mean, I think clubs are going to have to learn about getting better ventilation if they want to reopen like they were. I think, you know, we are seeing more testing. Biden did say he was going to enable people to get refunded if he'll send out a test to people. So yeah, this is contact tracing. It's not over, but you know, these pills will help, so don't be too depressed, folks.
Everyone should go out there and get boosted, get vaccinated. I got my booster, and I just had like a really bad headache, nothing, no other side effects really. And just to guarantee that you, not just keeping yourself safe, but if you're going to see family and friends and grandmas and uncles, you're keeping them safe too by you getting boosted and vaccinated. And also get the flu shot too, because it's flu season for real out here.
Well, one reason to get the flu shot is that we've all been walking around with masks, those of us who have. And our immune system may be a little bit weak to anything from a cold to a flu or whatever. And I mean, I picked up herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, and genital warts just in the last week. So, I mean, yeah, our immunity systems are down. And, you know, now it is important. Vaccination is very effective but in guarding against the worst outcomes, like going to a hospital or a morgue. Like, this is the best thing about the vaccine.
Yeah.
And the vaccines do wane a bit in efficacy. They some people are saying, though, that by not vaccinating the world, we're allowing these mutations to spring up all over the place, like South Africa or Botswana, mm-hmm. or wherever this one began. But sure, the vaccines keep you out of the hospital and the morgue. In most instances, they work very well in that effect. And they do make transmission a little more difficult, but you can still get breakthrough infections. Yeah. So you can still spread it and you can still get it. But honey, we've just all got to be vigilant, you know?
Yeah, girl.
It's a headache, but
yeah.
I felt so dark and so depressed. I mean, literally like in a depression, when we started doing this podcast, and it wasn't because of you, Monet. It was because we were in a much darker time without these pills on the horizon. I mean, anybody who follows me on social media knows that I am not the person who trusts the pharmaceutical industry the most. I'm not the first to say, oh yeah, trust anything. But hey, we can get through this. And I wish everyone a very, very happy holiday, however you decide to celebrate it.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be a little safety in there for your sake.
For sure. So on that note, we're gonna listen to some of the greatest hits of 2021 of Ebony and Irony.
I was listening to the radio at my parents' home in
Wait. There were radios in the 20s?
I was listening to the radio and I heard the news. This was national news. Rockstar Wayne County and the Electric Chairs has changed their name to Jane County and the Electric Chairs because Jane has transitioned. Jane went on to become a punk rock icon in the 1970s with songs like "If You Don't Want to Fuck Me, Baby, 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 Fuck Off." She is one of my favorite performers. She was on the Andy Warhol scene along with trans pioneers Holly Woodlawn and Candy Darling. She has a brilliant autobiography, Man Enough to Be a Woman, hung out with John Waterstar Divine, took part in the Stonewall riots. This lady is part of our history, and we are so lucky to have someone who has influenced David Bowie, Lou Reed, the Ramones, Pete Burns, and the Police once opened for her band. I met her at the Pyramid Club in the 1980s. When she was at Soundcheck asking if anyone had diet pills, I had some, and we have hit it off ever since. Please welcome punk, trans, rock, goddess, superstar, Jane County. Hi, Jane.
Yes. Hi. Do you have any pills? Any more diet pills? No more diet pills.
I gave up on the diet long ago. But Jane, we did not have you on here to read me like this and gang up with my co-host.
Hey, go choose.
That's okay. We'll get to all of that. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm doing fine, feeling fine. I have my ups and downs like a roller coaster. My life has been like a roller coaster, up and down. And never really just straight, steady, always bumpy. There's always a bump in the road. It seems like no matter what I do, there's another bump to get over, you know?
Well, you know what? I mean, well, when you have lived a life, such an influential life, and someone who has changed the face of queer history, honestly,
I'm old, hon.
This you have lived a beautiful life. So I think my question to you to start off is, how does it? So, someone who has been on the forefront of so many iconic queer pieces of queer history. How does the community look to you now?
Well, it looks kind of fragmented. I'm an old girl. I mean, back in the 60s, when I was 60s and 70s, when I was hanging out, things were a little more, less fragmented. I mean, people all went to the same bars and clubs, you know. Now you've got these people go there, and then these people go there, and these people go there. It don't seem like there's much mixing. And a lot of the places that used to mix, like the Pyramid and Jackie 60s and places, are gone now. So it doesn't seem to be as much mixing together. By mixing, I mean all kinds of people. Straight, also, gay, transsexual, yeah. Transgender, everything. Women, men. Doesn't seem to be as much as that now.
You came up performing with rock bands, so that was always kind of a mixed scene, right?
That was it was very mixed, but mostly straight. My audiences were mostly straight, and which was really, really bizarre. Like when I played at Max's Kansas City with my band, the audiences were just about 99% straight. Wow. I don't know why straight people, they were kind of, seemed to be in awe, kind of like they liked it, maybe attending because it was freaky to them, you know. Let's go see this freaky character called Wayne County. I hear he does this on stage and this on stage. So I had a lot of that.
So when you first started performing, you were Wayne County, and then you decided to transition, and then you became Jane County.
Became Jane, yeah.
Jane. How do you say Jane influenced Bowie and Hedwig? Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming because it's also you read about like the 70s and 60s and how these artists, they would go to clubs like this and just chill and kiki. So would Bowie like come to your shows at some point?
I used to be signed to Bowie's main man agency.
Oh.
Bowie, the same management agency. We had the same manager. And basically the management company basically took me for a ride. They used a lot of my ideas. And then when they kind of like sucked me dry, they kind of like let me go, really. They really used me, actually. It was quite an experience because there'd be parties and things, and David would be there, and we'd go into a broom closet or something and do a little cocaine or something. And then we'd start talking, and I'd just... blabbing my ideas. And plus, he sent me into the studio to do a bunch of demos. So three times I went to the studio to do demos of my music, and like a fool, sent it to him with hopes that he'd produce my album.
Right.
And so, but what happened was, instead of him producing my album, he took my songs, and he was influenced by a lot of them. He used a lot of the ideas that I had. I had songs like "Are You a Boy? Are You a Girl? Man, Are You Man Enough to Be a Woman? Are You My Wonder Woman?" Things like that, which a lot of the ideas, a lot of them kind of started showing up on his albums, particularly Ballad and Sing. Just for as an example, we had this long rap after we did some cocaine, and.
I know the kind.
Yeah.
Well, also, and I just have a quick question. Was this, my mind wants to know, did Bowie had the good shit or was it the cheap shit?
It was all right. I wasn't doing a lot of coke at the time. I was still, you know, still pretty coke free at that time. But it was kind of new to me. I hardly ever done it before. It just made me rap and talk. I had done speed before because at one time I was a bit of a speed freak and used to pop Black Beauties and beat up wrestlers on stage.
Y'all, Belize, welcome the very charming Boomer Banks.
Hi guys, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Guys,
Boomer Banks, how are you, darling?
Great, Monet, Bunny, I love you guys.
So, Boomer, so obviously you are a porn star, so you are naturally a sex positive person. Yes. How has
not naturally?
Not naturally.
And you'd be surprised at the amount of people that do this stuff and are very close-minded, or lack any sort of self-awareness of things like. being undetectable, just playing out being sex positive. Like, sex does not equal sex positivity, guys. I want to reiterate that. Sex does not equal sex positivity. And you can be a sex worker and still be fucking closed-minded as fuck. Because some of these guys, and I don't want to speak for the women or be, you know, misogynist, but some of these girls also just want their money. And they don't care to understand anything in regards to any sort of sexual disease or anything.
Well,
but
what would
these girls are very smart.
What would be an example of someone in the sex industry who is having sex for a living but who is not sex positive?
Gay for pay, guys. Okay. So an attitude would be guys who are bi-curious, mm-hmm. who realize that there's more money in the gay industry, and they tap their legs into that. Mm-hmm. And but then they don't bother to understand queerness.
Got
and
it.
And stuff like that, and it's very often the case.
But this has
and
been a
they eventually go,
this has been ahead. A very hot debate for years, because a lot of gay people are turned on by straight acting or straight guys. I mean, it's been a debate over the go-go dancers for years, because you know some of these dancers are brooding and sexy, and you don't know whether they're going to fuck you or they're going to kill you. In fact, they are not gay. But that turns a lot of gay people on. So,
I'm from the like thought process that I'm going to give my money to my queer fellows. Mm-hmm. If you're going to come and be a guest in our community and benefit from it monetarily, the least you can do is understand who we are as a people and not just take.
I thought you meant sex positive in terms of you have healthy attitudes about sex, that you're not a slut you'd have sex a lot, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of things now, Bunny. It's a lot of things now. And of course, that is one of the main things in regards to, being sex positive is an awareness of big things. Like, one of the big things is HIV positive, an incurable disease mm-hmm. that will. And I was just featured on Plus Magazine. It was my big coming out, because I had never really talked about it. I was outed by a blog when I first started. Mm. They outed my name. They outed my HIV status. And it was a very traumatic experience for me.
Where do you think that
never to talk about?
Where did that come from? What was the kind of blog? Is it a gossip blog, a porn blog? I mean, that's evil.
It was
some Wendy Williams shit.
It was very Wendy. So that's the culture, right? It's like, what's the tea? Like, let's tell the tea on this person. And then some people don't know how to. And this is a great segue to kind of what you wanted to talk about, and I wanted to talk about, Bunny, accountability as opposed to shame. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Shaming people and holding people accountable. Like, I started the porn industry HIV positive I've been HIV positive for 19 years. Mm-hmm. When I started, it was still like over a decade, and I had no shame in it. And obviously the people who were hiring me knew exactly what was going on with me.
Yeah.
The people that I was working with knew exactly what was going on with me. I only did condom porn at the time, and PrEP was barely kind of happening. Mm-hmm. It was still something that was not for someone else to disclose.
Oh no.
Right.
It's like, it's like coming out. Like, it's not someone else's, you know, it's mine. It's mine to disclose. And someone thought that it was theirs. And it was gross, and it was traumatic, and it kind of made me recoil. And I felt bad, because up until then I was very much an advocate for HIV, and it took me a while before I got back into it. But even then, when I got back into it, I would not talk about my HIV status. Mm-hmm. I would just talk about my advocacy in regards to it. And
are there other porn stars who have come out as HIV positive? Is there a stigma against this in the business?
It was obviously a huge stigma initially. It was just like no more condomless porn. You know, all the studios, all these producers and directors who now do condomless at one point were like, condoms only.
Yes, I remember.
And you know what I mean? There was a whole campaign, right? Now, all the studios, I don't think there's, I don't know of a studio that uses condoms anymore, because there's a self-awareness of PrEP. There's a self-awareness of getting tested frequently. There's a self-awareness of, and that's sex positivity right there, right? Yeah. But it took a while. And it's still sometimes a very interesting conversation to have with people. And there still are people in the industry that'll say, I won't work with someone who's HIV positive.
This week on Ebony Irony is the icon, the legend, Michael Musto.
Michael is the longtime gossip columnist for The Village Voice, which is now gone. His column, La Dolce Musto, was the only part that a lot of people read of The Village Voice. He has two books, Downtown and Manhattan on the Rocks, and he now writes for everything from New York Times to Paper to Daily Beast to Queerty to New Now Next, and is an MSNBC contributor at times. Michael, you were a good friend of Nelson Sullivan, whose videos have become cult favorites on YouTube because he was... you know, a videographer who caught all of the downtown scene, early RuPaul, Bunny, Paige, you know, Christine. Remember Lee Christine? Lee Bowery. Yeah, I mean, give us your memory of Nelson. How did you two meet?
We met through Grant Mewborn, who was in my band. He was one of my backup singers for the Motown band.
Okay.
And Nelson was this sweet Southern guy, real gent. And he worked at a uptown music store where they sold like sheet music. It was like so not part of the downtown scene. But at night, he would dress like Amnesia Sparkles. That was his drag character. And he would carry around this heavy, heavy video camera. This was way before you could just lift up your phone. He had an exclusive on the scene, and we would talk almost every day, and we'd say, what are you doing tonight? And I would tell him I'm going to Area. He would follow me to Area. He would follow me on my gigs with my band or my parents' house in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn for the holidays. Every time I farted, he got it on camera. And he, the great thing about it is we didn't know anybody would ever see these videos. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. The next day, he would give me a tape. Oh, here's from last night. Here's a tape of what happened. Yeah. And I would think, you know, I would watch it. It was like nobody else was watching it. Uh-huh. Years later, it shows up on YouTube. And now we're legendary from these videos.
Oh, girl. And for all the kids who Bunny and Michael talking about, there's all those videos you see of like Rue at the bodega, or like Bunny like bending her ass. There's one of Bunny on like 14th Street with her ass, you like bending over and like going up, some shit like that. All those videos from like the 80s and early 90s, that's what you're talking about. Nelson Sullivan, who would capture all of this stuff. And
that's one of me and Albert and Lizards who fly in her son on the train. And it has like 3 or 4 million views.
Wow.
Just because it's a glimpse of the old New York. And the thing is, we were not self-conscious for Nelson's camera because we didn't think anybody would ever see it.
Right.
We were
right.
We loved his camera. We loved acting for it, but we weren't holding back. And yeah. That's why they're so good.
And there's one video called Bunny Needs Coke Money of me trying to borrow money from, because I lived with Nelson. So, you know, he always had that camera out.
It's a 12-hour video.
In my mind, this video camera is like the size of a Subaru. Or was it not?
It was clunky. He eventually got a better one, but he didn't care. That kind of, he was a little bit shy, and I think that made him popular when he would show up with that camera. Everybody wanted to see Nelson.
Was Nelson cute?
Yes.
Horrible. Yes.
Okay. Bunny, did you and Nelson ever hook up?
No, we never did. Oh, Bunny, did you?
No.
Okay.
Of course I didn't.
Lies. But
you mentioned that a guy was cute that's been dead for years, and you're like, ooh, did you hook up? Girl.
I want to know, girl.
No, she means when he's alive.
Yeah, when he was alive, buddy. No, buddy. I don't think you're into fucking necromancy, okay? Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, it was my idea to have Michael on.
Buddy's boyfriends are definitely into
But But the now I didn't like to be filmed by Nelson because that video was always out. I mean, I said do anything, and if I'm in drag, whatever you want. But when you live with somebody, I didn't want the real world before the real world. But my favorite video of his is when I said videotape my hand, and I'm wiggling my finger because his dog Blackout. I could make them. I could sit. They would all be sitting in this big room, mm-hmm. and I could wiggle my finger and make a Blackout bite Nelson, his owner, from across the room. That was my favorite because I loved Blackout. Who we had? I think we had Blackout after Nelson died.
Oh wow!
So. I love the videos because to me they prove that I exist. Yeah. And it's like, yes, I really met RuPaul. I swear. See, I know RuPaul.
Well, it's so funny because I remember seeing videos of you. You used to do stuff with like MTV, right? Or am I making that up?
Yes. In the 80s, this wonderful woman, Elisa Bellatini, liked my style. She had me doing segments for MTV. I was so gay. I was wearing feathers and shit. I really was like one of the first gays on TV, let me tell you. And then in the 90s, I got on The Gossip Show on the E! Channel. I was on that show for
the E! Channel. Yes.
And that was the same as The Voice. They said, you have to audition. I did a segment. They loved it. I became one of their top people. And you just look at the camera and gossip like I'm doing now.
Wow.
But I have to say, I think I do have COVID. Not to switch gears here, but I've lost all sense of feeling. And this morning, I answered the iron. And the good news is it was Helen Keller calling. We had a really nice catch-up call.
Uh-huh. Well, have you lost your sense of smell and taste, too?
No, thank God, because I'm into scat, so.
He lost the taste in the 80s,
everything's
girl.
Good.
I've traveled with this bitch extensively, and she is here to talk about her nuts. Please welcome Latrice Royale.
Woo!
Hey, honey.
What's the tea?
Nothing much, Latrice. It is so good to have you on this podcast. You know, I have been doing this podcast with Bunny, and it has literally been, I want to say a labor of love, but the love part has been missing. It's just been a labor. So I'm happy to have you here, Tracy.
You get what you get when you deal with her. I'm just saying. That's it.
You get what you get? Sounds like I said what I said.
There you go. I'm trending, bitch. I'm trending. I'm with the times now.
But you know what? Bunny brings up a good point. Latrice is from the good old days of Drag Race when girls were not going on the show to make catchphrases so they can sell keychains and t-shirts. They were just being real. Okay, I don't want to dismiss anybody else. I'm not saying that, you know, like Soak It Up and Purse First. Those aren't manufactured, but it's just Latrice from the very, very, very organic days of Drag Race that all that stuff came from.
I like the way you said that, organic.
Organic.
Yes, we weren't so forced and produced.
Well, my first big question, Latrice, is going into these new seasons of Drag Race, like I want to say, you know, for the past 5-6 seasons, like how do you feel about it? Like how, like your perception of as one of the OGs of the franchise that honestly made it what it was, what is your perception? How do you feel about Drag Race currently?
No, actually, I am like enjoying my time with Drag Race because I'm able to see the evolution and growth. Mm-hmm. And now we're watching the girls who really grew up watching us on the show. So it's kind of like a full circle moment, but I'm definitely always intrigued about the new trends in which drag is taking. And so this young demographic and generation is bringing something fresh and new. And bitch, you know, I'm damn near 50, but I'm going to keep up with you. No, in fact, you're going to have to still try to keep up with me, bitch. That's what's going to be what it is. So, but I'm enjoying it. I'm actually becoming, you know, like a fan again. You know, I went through my period where I was like, ugh, girl, it's just more of the same. You know what I mean? And, and like the girls come in already knowing kind of sort of what to expect because a lot of them are from social media, mm-hmm. and they're in the game like from that aspect of things. So it's you kind of come in pre-produced and a little not so green as you should be.
Speaking of greens, I have my edibles sitting right here, which I was going to pop one in, but I like to wait till mid-interview so that I don't get, because when I take, because these be hitting hard. These Kiva Caminos, girl, I be really walking on sunshine. So I like to do it halfway through.
Speaking of popping one in, Valentine's Day arrived, and the only gift that I got was from a very distinguished older black man. Latrice Royale sent me some of her delicious new nuts. I'm looking for they really are delicious. And they were launched for Valentine's Day. Latrice's Squirrel Brand Ruby motherfucking Royale assortment features pistachio, almonds, cranberry, yogurt. Now, drooling, I shoved handfuls of her nuts into my mouth greedily. How did this partnership come about? I really did love them, and I thank you.
And I while Bunny was saying that, I ran to my kitchen to get my nuts to show Latrice. I have been chomping down. I have been eating these nuts like they're going out of style. They're so fucking good. The packaging is so cute. I'm so into it.
Oh my God. So it was really unexpected. At first, my publicist, Andre Morris, who has been working with me for the past four years, I would say. He was approached by Huge, which is the marketing firm that was representing Squirrel Brand. And when they first said, you know, here's a brief and this is what they're thinking and would you be interested? I was like, nuts and Latrice, hello, yes, I'm interested, very intrigued. And so, you know, we started, you know, looking through and seeing what their goal was and what the dream was, you know, and they didn't think they were going to be able to get me for some reason. I don't know why they thought that, because I was at home doing nothing during a pandemic. So, bitch, yeah, I'm free. I'm not free, but I'm available.
Now, when I posted, I will tell you the truth. I really did love them, and I did eat them all in one day. And now,
we can see. We can see. Shut up. Deserve, we can see.
This is a podcast. They can't see how fat I've gotten. It doesn't come with a resealable lid, so you have to eat them all.
And yes, it does.
Well, it does. No, it does.
You can call the thing back.
Yeah,
back
you
on.
Probably use the can opener to yours, Bunny, which was not what you should have done.
Oh my God. Well, okay, so this is a podcast that y'all can't see, but it's like one of those lids that you just pop it open with like a pen or like a Sharpie or something. You can pop it back on. But Bunny, being from an older generation, has used a can opener for hers, so she was not able to reseal it. I cannot.
Oh, you get crazy, kids. What will you come up with next?
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how excited and happy Bunny and I are to have one of the most delightful, funniest bitches on this side of the hemisphere.
Wait. I thought we were having Katya.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for the lovely, the delectable Katya Zarkova.
Monet Exchange from Drag Race, Lady B. She's got shit on her face. I love the theme song.
Thank
by the
you,
way.
It's Bunny. So that's good. All Bunny. That's all Bunny.
I know. Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah, that Monet from Drag Race and mm-hmm. Lady B from all over every other place.
Now,
you know, all three of us, we are girls. We are career women. Yeah. And, bitch, finding love in this industry is so fucked up. It's so hard. I have had many a roller coaster in love and in this journey of my life. How is yours? What's the tea?
I wish I could say that there was one. I'm not currently embroiled in a romantic scenario, although I would like very much for that to change immediately.
You are in luck, because as a thank you for doing this podcast, Monet has agreed to fuck you. After that... I have agreed to kill you. So you're going to, both of your dreams are going to come true, and you are going to be a goth heroine for centuries.
Monet Exchange, we'll fuck my face. Lady B,
we'll put you in your resting place.
Yeah. Well, no, I just completed a 7-day retreat where I did a lot of introspection, and I completely have transformed as a human being. I'm now proud to say that I'm perfect and ready for love. And I don't have any faults. There are no cons when you I mean, well, I'm smoking right now, but that's just a ruse. I will quit that very shortly in three or four days. And I'm ready. I'm ready to be, I'm ready to have a boyfriend, and I'm ready to get married. Although I don't need to get married, but I'm ready for monogamous commitment.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you the girl, like, you'll go on 2 dates and you're like, already know I'm down. Let's make it happen. Really?
Yeah, well, I will say that in my head, but I'm not a psychopath, so I won't say that to another person right then.
Got it.
But in my head, I mean, when you know, you know.
No, I don't agree with that, bitch. When you know, bitch, when you know, you think you know, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, no. You know what I mean?
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. But I'm an optimist. So I think, like, so for example, I went out on a date and last year. So I joined Hinge.
Oh my God, I was on Hinge too. I don't like it though.
I joined Unhinge.
Luck. That's exactly what Trixie said. She's like, Hinge, have you tried Unhinge, you fucking psychopath?
So Trixie wears my wigs and rips off my jokes before I tell them? Okay.
But I'm ready to do it. Listen, I'm approaching the twilight of my life. I'm a woman of a certain age. I'm no spring chicken. I'm almost 45 years old, and I'm ready to do it now. I'm ready to make a commitment tomorrow. I'm ready to etch it in blood on some, you know, parchment that's made out of skin, and I'm ready to do it. Yeah.
So this is, I mean, that's an interesting way to go about it. But hey, if you're a planner, that's great. But so it's not that you've met someone who you see that is unlike the others who were flings that you want to make something serious. You're just in the mood. You think it's time. Hitched. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't mean hitched in like as in a legal sense, because I don't really believe in gay marriage. Well, it's not that I don't believe in gay marriage. I just don't really, I'm not interested in gay marriage.
For you,
I don't see the point. I'm not going to merge my assets with any other human being on
absolutely the hell not.
I mean, I just don't understand why. And I honestly don't even want to sleep in the same bed as them. What?
So what type of dudes are you into? What is your idea? Okay.
38 to 45 years old, from Mexico City, has his own money, but didn't grow up rich. His name is Diego. He works in music engineering. He has a mathematical mind. He's not super into languages. His English is actually not super great. He's a little self-conscious about it, but he's been living in LA for about 4 years. Doesn't have his own friend group, but he's willing to to merge with mine, but at a responsible kind of level. He loves the occult. He loves, animals, but he doesn't have any pets because he's both allergic to cats and dogs, which is a real bummer for him. And I'm flexible on the name Diego only.
Sister. Good luck.
And he's a bottom. He's gay and he's a bottom. This is very important. He's gay, he's a bottom, and he's got a huge ass.
Okay. All right, so wait,
I don't care about the dick.
You're a top?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know this.
I've been fighting it, and I don't really believe in labels.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, I'm definitely willing to. I mean, I've had things up my ass, and I'm willing to do that. But I can't hook up with a top because I don't like to. I just don't fantasize about getting pounded. And I have a tiny pussy, the LA's tightest cunt, 3 years in a row with a teeny short cervix.
Katya,
short vagina.
I feel like we are the same person.
Really?
In most of my sexual relationships, I'm. 90% of the times I top, and sometimes I am to bottom, but I'm not one of these girls. Like, you see bitches in porn or Friends, and they like live to get fucked. They're like, please, Mary, it like releases Mary. Their life.
Are in New York, right? You're all in New York.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, New Yorkers, about something. I've been in LA for about 3-4 years, maybe 5 years now. Mama, sweetie, darling. I don't know if you can see this ottoman I have over in the corner. That's not an ottoman. That's an LA butt plug. People, I'm telling you, people here, every person fists. Every person in LA is a fisting bottom. And I like my penis. I'm not, it's not a thud club or whatever, but it is serviceable for me. There's no complaints. I love it. It works. It's great. It's nice. It's a little more than average, a little more. And then, but like, I mean, I need to carry around like an obelisk because like these, it is just wild. Bunny, it is like a vortex. It is like a black hole that sucks up all the furniture. And it's, I feel a little like, oh my God. But apparently in LA, there's all bottoms.
It's the obelisk for me. It's the obelisk for me. I'm fucking done.
The
I'm
Washington done. Monument went straight up his ass.
Keep talking. I'm about to come. Oh, this is good. I told you Katya would be a great guest, okay? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Click.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, girl. This was 2021, as brought to you by Ebony and Irony. We look forward to chatting with you all more in the new year.
And we have got some hot topics coming up this year. We got some hot topics. And we were finally releasing that damn song.
The song is finally coming out.
We're going to release it.
Yes, in the new year. So. All new things. Bunny, you have a terrible new year, and I hope you get fucked. We're very heartily.
Honey, I got fucked the minute I signed up to do this podcast with your ass. Happy New Year, Monet,
you too,
and to all our listeners.
A podcast network.